The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Attention fantasy owners, draft me to your fantasy team. Start me in your lineup. Win your weekly matchup, post a screenshot, and tag me. Winners will be chosen each week for a signed jersey of me, Austin Eckler. He's trying to woo fantasy owners, but my question is, what happens if he has a bad week and they lose? Well, I mean, then you're inviting fantasy owners to ask something of you, Austin Eckler.
Like that doesn't already happen.
We'll get to that in a second. College football opening weekend. We're 24 hours away from college football, people. Season starting with Alcorn State, North Carolina Central. I saw a headline calling this week zero. It's not week zero if teams are playing. It's week one. No need to zero-fy it. Clinton Yates, what to watch for here with the start of college football?
What I'm watching for is exactly how much people are paying attention now to HBCUs. That has been the trend we've been seeing happening over the course of the last couple years in America. You can talk about the players on the field. We can even discuss how many, so many big-name guys have come back to different college programs to try to establish themselves as coaches. But there's so many other things, so many other people that make game day what it is and make programs run, trainers, students, different people that are in medical, you know, athletic departments and medical facilities in terms of what they do for teams. Like, we can do this. We can do it just fine as long as y'all pay attention to us, and I'm really excited to see them get this opportunity in terms of game day being there and everybody who's going to get a chance to get some shine on
Saturday. Sarah Spain.
Yeah, this is just the third time that an HBCU has been host to College Game Day, and the first time since 2008, so it's been a while. So to Clinton's point, you bring the spotlight that ESPN Game Day allows, and you allow people to have bigger and better conversations about the coaches that are coming back. Do they qualify, or do they just bring a lot of attention with their big names? We could talk about that. We could talk about the fact that there wasn't a single HBCU player drafted in the NFL last year, though some went on to sign with teams afterwards. Why is that happening? Are they getting overlooked? And then finally, these two specific teams. Neither of them played last season, so they've got a lot of pent-up energy. They're ready to go, and Alcorn State had won six straight division titles before they had to take off last season. So they got something to prove that they're still the top of the game. So it's exciting, and it's a really cool way to kind of start the college football season maybe a little differently.
Israel Gutierrez.
Week zero, Tony, is actually cool. It's like the week one of week one. It's like it's actually an
no,
event,
it's week
right?
zero, I
and
believe.
So when you talk about all the it's week zero. It's a cool number. Go over to Rita's. Look at all the attention, like Clinton and Sarah were saying, that HBCUs were getting. It seems like perfect timing to sort of kick off week zero with this big event game. And to expand on Sarah's point about the coaches, another concern there being even the big names, but any coach really, using the HBCUs as a stepping stone. Well, if you have more events like this, more spotlight on the schools, perhaps, as Sarah said, more players drafted to the NFL next year because there weren't any last year, maybe they won't look at it as a stepping stone. Maybe they will look at it as a destination and we can grow and expand from there. So I think in terms of, you know, having game day, it's a great idea and great time.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to touch on a point that Clinton made where this is a part of a growing conversation around HBCUs in this country where a guy like Josh Christopher, before he went to Arizona State, was very, very seriously considering going to an HBCU. McCormick Core played at Howard this year. It's one of those things where I think this is part of a larger thing in this country beyond sports where HBCUs are becoming a larger part of the conversation in terms of secondary education. And I think this is a really great opportunity to put a big spotlight on this issue so we can continue to move forward and talk about the role HBCUs play in this country.
Something you want to add, Clinton?
These two conferences facing off is something that also happens at the end of the season in the Celebration Bowl for what's known as the HBCU National Championship.
Right.
And it's something that we've seen put into a lot of different spaces. Discussing HBCUs as part of the normal conversation is something that we need to happen. I think this is a good step in that direction.
Israel, you mentioned coaches and how they view the job. Well, right on the sidelines for Alcorn State is that name, McNair, Fred McNair, Steve McNair, the great of Alcorn State, his older brother. And on the sidelines, McNair's son plays in the game as well. All right, that is Elkhorn State, North Carolina Central. Tomorrow, the college football season, week one. Sticking with college football, a report that expansion to the playoff, which seemed like it was imminent a few months ago, is now on life support. Quote, it's on life support, end quote. West Virginia President Gordon Gee. Life support? Question mark? Sarah Spain?
Yeah, it's at least on a long delay. Not because everybody doesn't still believe that college football playoff expansion is the right move, both monetarily and for the enjoyment of all the different teams that can get involved, but because of the tension around the alliance and the breakoff of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. They are on unsteady ground. They're not really sure what the coming year and years are going to look like, but what they do know is right now, ESPN and the SEC and the college football playoff are their own alliance. And until that contract ends, and they might be able to get their own TV partners involved in the mix in the college football playoff expansion, they maybe don't want to do it and get set with that group being in charge and having all the power. So I think this is just pushing it off by claiming the instability doesn't allow them to do it yet.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sarah. It's inevitable still, and there is this delay that's going to happen. But I think when you get to the super conference part, right, that's inevitable as well. Then you're going to figure out, hey, okay, this might be the time. And I think the solution for that is for all these teams, there's way too many teams, 100-plus teams in this top tier of college football. How about we cut that off? How about we create these super conferences and just have that be the top tier and then maybe create another division and give another trophy out for these schools who won't be able, you know, to really compete with the Alabamas of the world. So once we figure out where everybody's going to play, who that real top tier is, then again, we're going to get to the inevitable 12.
So you would create another division here. That would be part of the solutions-oriented Gutierrez plan. Interesting. All right.
More events.
Jun Lee.
I think this is masking the bigger issue, which is that these teams need to recruit better, they need to train their players better to match these SEC teams. I mean, if you look back to 2014, if you look at the conferences that would have had the most playoff appearances, it's not the SEC, it's actually the Big Ten. They would have had 20 playoff appearances if the playoffs were expanded to 12 teams. The SEC would have had 19. So I think this is also inevitable, like Sarah and Israel said, but these teams across football have to get better to match the competition in the SEC right
Glenn
now.
Glenn Yates.
I think it's on life support because it is ostensibly not the biggest priority, I think, when we look at the last 2 years of what college football has been. We've got big-time programs whose coaches can't even figure things out in terms of how to get their teams on the field safely, which would seem to be priority one in terms of what we're getting back to what we're doing. That's how you make money, playing football. And so I sort of feel like the playoff will happen. It's fine. Why don't we focus right now on what we like, which is showing up and watching people play the game.
Just to throw something back at Jun Lee, the idea that the SEC is so dominant, maybe it's just the perception of the SEC that it's dominant. That could also be in play here. Sarah, you're shaking your head. No, I don't know what it was about, though.
Yeah, well, I wish that we actually thought that making sure that players were healthy and getting on the field was our priority, but it's money, and that's why the alliance is coming together in whatever you want to come to, I mean, handshakes and looking deep into each other's eyes. I don't know that that's really much of an alliance. And that
are you saying you don't trust gentlemen looking into each other's eyes and shaking hands?
Tony, we don't have a long enough show for me to talk about whether gentlemen can be trusted.
You can't make money unless you're on the field, though.
NFL news of the day from New Orleans. We were wondering if Sean Payton was going to wait for the last second to name a starter. Jameis Winston played so well in camp, he made the whole thing moot. Winston getting QB1 starter's job. Taysom Hill back to being Taysom Hill. Israel. How good are the Saints with Winston as QB1? And answer this directly, are the Saints a playoff team?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and say they're a playoff team. One of eight, sure, why not? And look, I do think this is going to be the best version
All right, that's conviction.
Of them. There you go. I do think this is going to be the best version of them if Jameis doesn't turn the ball over, because if you look at the way they were supposed to win, you know, defensively, they're a little bit crossing their fingers that they can replace some losses that they had in the offseason, primarily with some rookies that they drafted. But on the offensive side of things, when you limit yourself with Taysom Hill, and I know Taysom Hill sort of trained to be QB1 this year, but skill set wise, seems like he would limit that offense. When you're limiting yourself, then maybe your offense, you're limiting your offense explosion, right? Maybe you're limiting your point total and taking pressure off of your defense if you throw Jameis Winston out there and can take the top off the defense. The other thing is, you could always go the other way. If Jameis does start turning the ball over, you could say, okay, we're reeling things in. We know we can do it here with Taysom Hill, and let's just go from there, really put a lot of pressure on our defense to keep these games low scoring. But if this, the ideal version of the Saints, the best version of the Saints includes Jameis Winston as a starter.
Noon, you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Saints are going to make the playoffs, and it's going to be a really big factor in Jameis' success about whether or not Michael Thomas is going to come back from that ankle injury that he had and the surgery that he had this offseason. He's supposed to come back around week six. I think that's going to be a really big deciding factor in kind of the trajectory of Jameis' season. I'm really, really curious to see whether or not those viral video training videos that Jameis put out actually helped improve his decision-making.
Okay, I think you're saying that somewhat sarcastically, but Clinton Yates, how about you?
I won't say it sarcastically at all. You watch Jameis play, you listen to him talk, he looks like a different dude, a different quarterback with a different motivation. He's got $7 million in incentives this season alone to be a better quarterback, which is something that finally seems to be motivating him because he's got the runway clear for him. I don't think they're a playoff team because I didn't think they were going to be a playoff team with Drew Brees either at this point. But he can improve, and I think he will on this season.
Sarah Spain.
I think they're a wild card team, but I wouldn't be surprised if they miss the playoffs. And to the point that Izzy made later, they have some question marks that they have to figure out on defense. They had cap space issues, and they had to make some bad decisions. And the reason they had those cap space issues is because the other quarterback who didn't win the job got a $16.3 million extension. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why we're not talking enough about why Sean Payton thought Taysom Hill was a QB1 and gave him QB1 money when it's been proven over and over that he's not.
That's interesting. And Taysom Hill, as you said, Israel, this summer changed his body a little bit. He lost weight and he tried to be a quarterback. And now you question whether he could still be that running back, wide receiver, tight end he was. That's one interesting decision. And the other, alluded to by June Lee, is Michael Thomas. Remember, his injury happened in a game, but he was put back out in the field after he was injured. And that's another reason why they're behind the eight ball with him this season to start this year again. We're taking a break here. The world record in the 100 meters at the Paralympics by Nick Mayhew. Can't show it to you because of rules, but when you see it, you have to see him take off at the end of the race. 10.95. Mayhew, now the 100 world record holder, 200 American record holder, a dual Team USA athlete because he plays soccer. He played soccer collegially at Radford. Mayhew's life with cerebral palsy, he experienced weakness in his left side his whole life, but he wasn't diagnosed until a seizure in ninth grade, and he was hesitant to admit he had cerebral palsy for some time. He's now a public speaker, and he's now setting records at the Paralympics celebrating disabilities. How great is that? We'll be back with Buy or Sell in 2 minutes.
Awesome.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Reggie Bush, you.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Welcome back, Cristiano Ronaldo. Manchester United dropping it on everybody today and pulling it off suddenly. The summer in international soccer moves, Messi from Barcelona to PSG and Ronaldo from Juventus to Manchester United. This is seismic, and Ronaldo returning after 12 years away, Clinton. What is happening?
Yo, this is a big deal. For a guy like this to come back to his team in the Prem at this stage of his career, you are asking a lot of yourself. That's quite a challenge. I gotta believe, though, that this is more of a Champions League move than anything, because this ain't no Farmers League, Cristo. They're not playing.
Oh, you question whether he still has it to play in the Prem, as you say, Clinton Yates?
I'm not saying whether or not he still has it. I'm talking about his effectiveness in terms of appearances week in and week out with continental tournaments as well as the league.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like whether he still has it. Sarah Spain, how about you?
Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure we've got the short list of things that are coming home before England. We've got Kemba Walker to the Knicks.
Yourself.
We've got Kristen Press to Angel City now.
Sarah
we've
Z,
got Ronaldo back to Man U. I like it. It's a cool story. I guess he was dabbling a little with City, and then a lot of his old friends from Man United said, listen, I don't think you want to mess with the reputation and the legacy that you have with Man United. So I like the coming home story, even if
Israel?
Still waiting on England.
Well, the Prem is a lot more popular in this country than his previous, the Italian league is. Although, if we keep calling it the Prem, I don't think it's going to be very popular anymore. So I do think it's a move that, you know, locally here, we're very much going to enjoy. I'm a Chelsea fan. I like the idea of him facing Chelsea. I like the idea of him facing Man City. And, you know, I would have loved to see him play with De Bruyne. But, yeah, I think it's a great move for that league and for soccer worldwide. Mm-hmm.
Julie.
We're not even talking about the potential transaction of who I think is going to be the best player in a couple years of the trio of Ronaldo, Messi, and Kylian Mbappe, who there's a lot of rumors right now about him going to Real Madrid. Mbappe, I think, has an opportunity to become one of the best players in the world. And I would have loved to have seen Mbappe play with Messi, but I think that is kind of the bigger story right now in the soccer world is the future of Kylian Mbappe.
Buy or sell two, the Miles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney front line for Cleveland this year. Can you imagine being an offensive lineman, being asked to deal with that? But for motivation, you now have this quote from Clowney about the guards he's up against, because now he's playing in the interior. Guards are not real athletes. Sarah, buy or sell Clowney saying that.
It's a Clowney statement, bro. Yeah, I mean, he's got guards on his team. Like, I get that he wants to talk smack to the guys across the line, but guess what? There's guys in your locker room that are guards. Perhaps you could just single out the ones you want to take on from other teams and not take out a whole swath of your team.
Israel?
I could understand saying that they're not freakish athletes, right? Because I would say most guards who are freakish athletes probably are going to be defensive tackles, but not athletes. Like, these pulling guards, they could probably dunk on you in a basketball game. Absolutely athletes, but Jadeveon Clowney's just next level, so nobody, you know, not many are on
June.
Yeah, I mean, these are 300-pound guys who can run faster than literally everyone on this show right now. I mean, the decks are already stacked against these offensive linemen because they're basically at the bottom of the hill waiting for a boulder to come rolling towards them. And in this case, the boulder is Jadeveon Clowney.
Glenn Yates.
If I'm going to listen to smack talk from anybody about talking about linemen, it's going to be Jadeveon Clowney. Listen, kids, go queue up the 2013 Outback Bowl where he blew past a whole bunch of guards and offensive linemen and made one of the greatest plays ever. The guy's just talking a little trash in the NFL. They're grown men. It's no big deal.
Buy or sell three, the immaculate inning. 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 strikeouts. It happened last night, Chris Sale. And Chris Sale has 3 career immaculate innings. And the list of guys in recorded baseball history who have 3 career immaculate innings, Chris Sale and Sandy Koufax. That's it. That's the list. June, how big a deal is the immaculate inning, and is it more skill or coincidence?
I think it's a little bit of skill and coincidence. I mean, it's one of those situations where Chris Sale, I think, is starting to put himself in the conversation of one of the pitchers with the greatest stuff of all time when you're in a conversation with Sandy Koufax. But this is one of those things where I put it kind of on the same level as hitting for the cycle. It's an exciting thing, but it's not this, like, enormous thing that we need to throw a party for.
Clinton Yates?
I'm going to buy this because I like Chris Sale's game because he throws just like my man Gavin Weir, who's in Little League, who's been mowing people down with immaculate innings and various no-hitters all week. Okay, so that's why we like this. Shouts to everybody out there, Jalen Bowman, Ella Brunning, and everybody who's building
Little League World Series. We love it. We talked about it yesterday. Is it on? Do those games run long? I had
today's
no idea.
The dead day.
I had
they
no
go back.
Idea these games on ESPN ran long into the 5 and 5:30 time.
Are we even on TV?
Sarah Spade, how about
is
you?
Is anyone watching this? It's impressive. It does take skill, but it's also a bit of luck and coincidence that you don't get a foul tip on one of those strike threes and that it doesn't end up being that perfect 9 pitches.
Is
but
real?
To quote Shania Twain, I'll say that don't impress me much. Immaculate innings thing.
Uh-huh. Israel, how about you?
Third out. The third out is impressive, right? Because that's when you know you've got it going, right? And so you've got to be, all right, I got 3 more pitches. He can't touch this. So I'd say that, absolutely. And as I go out, I just have to say June. Suns out, guns out. Am I right?
Let's see it, June. What are we working with today?
Flex.
Yeah,
flex
all right.
All right. Woo, all right.
It is. It's going to be a pose down between the guns and those two gentlemen in the background, but not in showdown. That is Clinton Yates and Sarah Spade in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I love this Austin Eckler fantasy owner story. So he's telling fantasy owners, start me, win, show it to me, I'll enter you in a drawing, and you're gonna win some merch. Which then invites the idea that if they start him and they lose, what happens? I mean, I just wonder if this is sustainable. Does it behoove him to woo fantasy owners? Clinton Yates, where do you come down on this?
Absolutely. This is a win-win, a cool guy move. The worst case scenario is that, what, a bunch of people jump into his mentions? We deal with that every day as is. This is a fun way to play fantasy sports.
Sarah?
Yeah, this is obviously the move. People are going to be jerks no matter what. If you tell them, look, I'm a human, I'm doing my best, I'm trying to win you some signed jerseys, and it doesn't work out, maybe they'll be a little bit nicer on an off week. Just maybe.
People are going to be jerks no matter what. Where's the positivity, guys? It's social
reality,
media
man.
Is what you put into it. Give out kindness, you'll get kindness in return. That's why I like what Eckler's doing here. All right. A lot of clutch points for the two panelists today. We'll move on. We did a story on athletes before. You know, whether a guard, an offensive guard is an athlete. So golf. Look at the caddy running. Athletics right here. And they got a standing ovation for running. Incredible. Xander Schauffele left it accidentally at the previous tee box. So my question, Sarah, is whose responsibility is it to get the putter back when the player was the one who left the putter behind? Player or caddy?
I appreciated that Xander took responsibility for his error, but I do think in an athletic competition, if that caddy who's getting paid can get those extra steps in and let Xander rest and relax and get ready for a competition, that's the way it should have gone.
Yeah, it's the player's responsibility, but the caddy nailed this. He played up the show as well, hit the tape coming through it. I'm glad he was the one who went to do it because it made for a better show and he didn't have to get his guy tired.
You know, the caddy could have said, I know I'm your caddy, it's my responsibility, but your F-up does not result in my emergency. That's a code that we live by here. Clinton Yates, very clutch performance. Peace.
The town of Williamsport, Pennsylvania is known as the home of the Little League World Series, but there is also something there that is a historical marker worth bringing up. Freedom Road Cemetery is there. Now, what it is it's an old Underground Railroad stop. The man's home, he used to own a home there, and he would basically hide runaway slaves as part of the system that got people to freedom. A lot of people go there to watch people play baseball. A lot of people don't know that it's one of the best and most important historical places that we have along our network of things in this country. Go check it out if you're ever there. I've got a column coming out on Sunday about it at the end of the season.
Great story, and I look forward to the column, Clinton. Israel, I saw you waving maniacally when we were talking about leaving a club behind. What are you doing?
Yeah. If anybody at the Delray Beach Golf Club finds a 60-degree wedge, you'll know it's mine because it had like a rainbow prism effect on the head there. Send it to
Get
me. Find me on Instagram.
Time to look into the future and tell you what we see. The phone lines are open. Let's take the first caller.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Mike. Do you see Jameis Winston keeping the Saints starting quarterback job?
Well, of course, this comes in the wake of the news that Sean Payton has named Jameis Winston his starter, which is like, you know, there was no suspense to that starting week one. And Winston, of course, is coming off a season where he threw 30 picks.
Yeah.
Nobody believes that Sean Payton is going to stand for that, having had Drew Brees, who took like 4.5 seasons to amass 30 picks. I think he'll be the starter for a reasonable length of time, and people will call for his head when he has a bad game. But I think he's the starter. He's been in that system, at least been able to practice and study it and walk through plays in it for over a year now, Frank. I think he's the starter for the foreseeable future. And that's all that crystal ball can tell you about the NFL is foreseeable future.
You know, you're talking so much soccer. I was convinced you were going to call him Hamas and not Jameis Winston. And you're right about the 30 interceptions. But here's the thing. He's now with Sean Payton, who's a very good coach, good with quarterbacks. And Taysom Hill was his competition. Taysom Hill is a good player, but for me, he's a situational player.
You put him in
sometimes
guy.
Yep. On third downs. Absolutely. So you know you have that in Hill. So why would you mess with it? Give Winston a chance here to succeed. I think spending a year, you know, with that system, again, he's only 27. He's a young player. I think last year will help. Remember, he came into the playoff game against Tampa Bay and threw that touchdown pass. I think you give him a chance, see how it works, maybe for the first 5, 6, 7, 8 games. I think Sean Payton is on to something. I think Jameis Winston all along was going to be the starting quarterback. Now, whether or not he's the starter next season, that's another story.
Yeah. Next season, December, who the hell knows that even that crystal ball. But Hill is a specialty player. Leave him in that role. He's comfortable with it. His teammates
are comfortable
with it.
And he does well in that role.
Opponents have to prepare for it, and they can't. Yep. And he does well in that role.
Yep.
Who is the next caller?
Hi, Phil and Frank. Hi, Wilbon. I want to know if you see BYU joining the Big 12.
Well, you know, this comes in the wake, Frank, of The Athletic reporting that the Big 12 is seriously interested, you know, seriously discussing adding BYU to the conference. I mean, we're talking about now BYU's interest. If I'm BYU, I don't know that I have interest. I'd be waiting for a better offer, a bigger offer. Maybe the Pac-12. You know, comes knocking on my door. And the Pac-12 is clearly still higher in the pecking order than the Big 12. Boise State is also in the mix.
Yeah.
I think they could be added out west for real, not to the Big 12. The Big 12's reeling. I don't know that I want to join the Big 12, even though, Frank, it would mean more in TV dollars for the currently independent BYU. I get that. But let's not make them sound like Notre Dame, okay? BYU still needs some support. And they can find it and better elsewhere to me than the Big 12.
All right. The Pac-12 has already said that they're not going to expand. Now, maybe that's all negotiation.
I know. They say that.
But if I'm BYU, and they have a great football tradition there. You mentioned your guy Steve Young, also Jim McMahon. They've had terrific players.
Yes,
there have been times where they've had a one-loss season or they go undefeated and nobody takes them seriously as a team that can compete for a national championship.
The Big 12 is going to change that?
Hang on, though. If they expand the playoff and they win the conference – they would be one of those 12 teams. So I think for them it makes sense. And from a basketball standpoint, why wouldn't you like it? You're going to get to play against Kansas.
Yeah, but that's a different deal. We know teams can split their alliances and allegiances now.
Yeah.
Football and basketball don't have to be in the same place.
But they'll get in the playoffs are getting expanded. It gives you a chance to get in there. Because who's to say if they don't join a conference and if there's 12 teams, they could get in? This would guarantee them a way to get in if they win the conference.
Well, Frank, that is the biggest reason that they would go. Because we saw how much they cared about this last year.
Yeah.
And once every, it seems, 30 years or so, BYU pops up and they care about being included with the big boys in college football. All I'm saying to you is I'm not sure in their current state that the Big 12 qualifies.
How about a BYU, Boise State, add both of them to the Big 12?
Okay.
Then you got something.
I tell you what, the Pac-12 might want to step in.
I knew I would convince you. I knew it.
The phone lines are closed. Let's take one last break, but still to come. Chicago Bulls trade away someone who they thought once would be a big piece to their puzzle. Not lately.
And the Phillies suffer a tough blow to their playoff chances. Another team sinking.
I don't know how I feel about this trade. You know, I've wanted Markkanen out. I've wanted him out for 2 years.
Big disappointment.
Because he doesn't play.
Next on SportsCenter, today's soccer shocker. Full coverage of Cristiano Ronaldo's stunning return to Manchester United. Plus, assessing Jameis Winston's new starting QB expectations and Zach Wilson's final test tonight before the season kicks off. And on the eve of college football back in action, College Game Day delivers the need-to-know guide heading into Week 0. SportsCenter, right after PTI.
What's your... Time to get happy, people. Happy 70th birthday, Mac Brown. Brown has done so much more with the Tar Heels than so many thought he would when he came out of retirement to coach them for a second time 3 years ago. They were 5-18 the two seasons before he arrived, 15-10 since. This year's team, featuring big-time quarterback Sam Howell, enters the season ranked 10th in the AP poll, 9th in the coaches. Brown was recently asked why he didn't stay retired, and he said, quote, "I like people. I like being nice. I like making people smile. It's fun for me," close quote, not to be confused with anything Anthony Kornheiser has ever said.
He won the BCS title. That was in 2005 with Vince Young. You know what? He's 70. He's a terrific coach. All that knowledge still in his head. Can coach pretty well.
Good for him. Good for them, too. Happy anniversary to the New York Cosmos. On this day, 43 years ago, you beat the Tampa Bay Rowdies 3-1 to win the team's second straight NASL championship. That Cosmos team featured the great Giorgio Chinaglia, Franz Beckenbauer, but was without Pelé, who retired shortly after winning the title the year before. Soccer Bowl 78 was played in front of nearly 75,000 fans at Giant Stadium, still a record attendance for a club championship in North America. The good old days, Frank.
Yeah, well, Michael, I used to go to those games. In fact, a year earlier when Pelé played his final game, he played half with Santos, the Brazilian team, the other half with the Cosmos. I was at that game. Wow. You know, we would say the games were 90 minutes long, 2 hours to get out of the parking lot of Giant Stadium after the game, though.
Those are great. Cosmos and the Diplomats, they would fill RFK. Fun. Unreal.
That awful turf.
Happy trails, Lori Markkanen. Get out of town. The Bulls sent their finished forward to the Cavaliers as part of a three-team sign-in trade. The Bulls drafted Markkanen 7th overall in the 2017 draft when they got rid of Jimmy Butler. And while two seasons ago, Frank, he averaged a remarkable 19-9, his play has been maddeningly inconsistent when he's out there. And now Cleveland has that to figure out the next 4 years at a cost of $67 million. In return, the Bulls get Derrick Jones Jr. Remember, he won that dunk contest or was second in it. A protected first, a 2023 second from the Blazers. I don't think it's enough. Yeah. I don't know if I like the deal.
No, I don't think it's a good deal. He's been a disappointment. Remember, he was part of that original deal with Jimmy Butler going to Minnesota. Another mistake he made. He called up my radio partner, Brian Scalabrine, and asked him if it would be okay if he wore number 24. Come on, Lori. Just take the jersey. You have to call Brian up to ask him for permission.
He was so promising.
He never even used the jersey when he was there.
It was so promising.
I know.
And now,
don't wear 24 in Chicago.
Bryson DeChambeau shot a 60 at the BMW Championship in Caves Valley today. Missed a six-footer on 18 for 59. Everybody misses a six-footer for 59. We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Reese Hoskins out for the rest of the season with an abdominal tear. Big loss for the Phils.
Say goodbye to the Phillies. 27 home runs, 71 RBIs, led the team. Chris Sale threw an immaculate inning last night and a win over the Rays. Is that significant?
More hype for the stats and information people. He stands on his own, okay? He's a hell of a pitcher for a long time. He doesn't need immaculate innings. Noah Syndergaard pitched one inning for the Mets High A team yesterday. Was that a big deal, Frank?
Yeah, he hasn't pitched since September of 2019. You know what they say in Chicago? Same thing with the Mets. Wait till next year. Phillip Rivers' high school team won the opener 49-0. You happy for him?
I feel bad for the kids who got crushed. Last one, Padres and Angels tonight. Give me a reason to watch.
I'll give you two. Tatis, Ohtani.
Good enough.
Not bad. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
That's always a good reason to watch those guys. I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, swinging Lori Markkanen right out of
town. Mike's going to watch soccer this weekend. La Liga, Premier League.
This is SportsCenter with L. Duncan.
Good Friday evening. Quick little SportsCenter tonight, the happy hour, if you will, to the main course, which is an MLS doubleheader. We're also going to get you ready for NFL preseason action, last dress rehearsal potentially for Zach Wilson and Jalen Hurts. We're going to start with soccer after a stunning reversal of fortunes. We'll now see Cristiano Ronaldo headed back to Old Trafford. He starts our headlines tonight. Last night, we told you he was close to a deal with Manchester City. Well, today we reported Man City pulled out of contention for Ronaldo, paving the way for a reunion to Man U. It's a two-year deal worth over what would be $17.5 million with potential for more. Taylor Twellman gives his take on this in just a second. In football, the Saints have a starting QB, according to Adam Schefter. It looks like our girl Mina Kimes was right. She said it would all come down to Monday night's game, and it did. He looked great in tossing two long touchdowns, beats out Taysom Hill, and will be under center week one against the Packers. In baseball, according to the MLB Network, the administrative leave for Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer has been extended again by a week through September 3rd. This marks the seventh such extension while investigators check into allegations of sexual misconduct against Bauer. The case was turned over to the LA County District Attorney's Office today. And in college hoops, Louisville suspended basketball coach Chris Mack for 6 games without pay this upcoming season after concluding that Mack didn't follow university guidelines and procedures while he was being extorted by a former assistant coach. During the suspension, Mack will be prohibited from having contact with players and coaches. But back to tonight's top story. Cristiano Ronaldo is headed back to Manchester United. Just to remind you of who he is, one of the most decorated footballers in the world. He's got titles in 3 different countries, and he's changing teams. And when that happens, you lead SportsCenter. Ronaldo spent a little over 3 seasons with Juventus, scoring 101 goals. He reached the century mark faster than all but one player in club history. Age is just a number, especially when you're talking about Ronaldo. He turned 36 in February, but he scored 320 goals since turning 30 as he continued to increase his career scoring average compared to his performance in his 20s. But this is all about coming home. He's returning to a club where he won 10 titles and the Premier League Golden Boot. With 16 goals, he became the first player ever to reach the century mark in both the Premier League and La Liga. And of course, you had to say goodbye on Instagram. It's sort of what we've come to expect from these legends nowadays. We saw it from Messi as well. Today, he says, I depart from an amazing club, the biggest in Italy and surely one of the biggest in all of Europe. I gave my heart and soul for Juventus, and I'll always love the city of Turin until my final days. By the way, within minutes, the club's official website crashed when they made the announcement that he was coming back home. Let's welcome in senior writer Gab Marcotti, who is live from London, alongside the one and only Taylor Twellman, who's in Columbus for Crew versus FC Cincinnati after us. So we'll get to that and to Taylor in a second. I want to start with you, Gab, because 24 hours ago on this very show, we were sitting right here discussing how close we were to a deal with Man City. So how did we get here in such a short amount of time?
Well, the answer is with a ton of drama, because after his agent, George Mendes, left Juventus on Thursday morning, he told Juventus, you know, we have a deal in principle. Manchester City will take him. Juventus is like, fine, let's just get a bid. And to make an analogy here, Al, it's a little bit like, you know, we see this all the time in U.S. sports when you've got a major superstar who makes a ton of money, his contract is expiring, the team wants to rebuild. Well, that's maybe when they think of dealing him for future picks or whatever. Problem was, City liked him, but at a price. And Pep Guardiola made that very clear on Friday when he said, well, it's not really up to us if he wants to come. It's up to him. To me, that sounded like a big take it or leave it situation. In fact, there's been suggestions that they weren't necessarily going to meet his wage expectations or indeed Juventus's asking price. And in what was just an incredible turnaround, a few minutes later and just a few miles away across town at Manchester United, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the United manager, saying, oh, well, you know, I didn't know that Cristiano could be leaving Juventus. Well, if he wants to leave, we're here for him. And just like that, a couple hours later, the deal was done.
Just like that. With all of that money in play, just like that, it happens. Taylor, I want to come to you for perspective now. What does a move like this, especially in the way that it happened, how Gab just laid out, mean for the sport going forward?
Well, obviously, when you're looking at a global brand like Cristiano Ronaldo, this move is more important. And I know people watching this are going to listen to this and say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? But still, Manchester United is a bigger global brand than where Manchester City is. And so for Cristiano Ronaldo and that legacy, I think it would have put a huge dent into that legacy if he went to the rival and played for Pep Guardiola and Manchester City. But for Manchester United, Al, this puts him in the conversation of contending in the Premier League. I still think they're behind Chelsea. I still think they're behind Manchester City. But more importantly, how many times in the global sports world, when Messi does one thing, Ronaldo needs to trump it, and that's exactly what he did in the final hour of this transfer window. It's fantastic for the sport globally.
Yeah, we were wondering if maybe at some point Kylian Mbappe would be like, hold my beer, but that was not to be. So thank you to Gab and Taylor joining us here on SportsCenter. Taylor, we're going to see you at the bottom of the hour for Columbus and Cincinnati. A round of applause goes to Jameis Winston for winning the Saints quarterback job. I suppose a Nolia clap would be more apropos. Sources tell Adam Schefter that Famous will be under center week one against the Packers. He beat out Taysom Hill for the job after a dynamic showing in Monday's preseason game. You know what you get when you get Jameis Winston. It's a fun ride sometimes, right? It's a bit of a roller coaster. Last time we saw Jameis as a full-time starting quarterback, back in 2019 with the Bucs. A little bittersweet, if you will, right? He became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw at least 30 touchdown passes. That is so good. Also, 30 picks, not so good. He did that in the same season. That's not good at all. No one had thrown that many interceptions in 30 years. You know what I'm most looking forward to? Jameis is having a season so that we don't have to remind him of that every time we mention his name, that 30 season, every time. Mina Kimes of NFL Live fame is joining us here now. Mina, now that we know it's going to be Jameis, what are your expectations for the Saints in a division that also has his former team, the defending Super Bowl champ Bucks?
Yeah, Al, I don't expect them to be as good as the Bucks. I don't expect many teams to be as good as the Bucks. But I do think if the rest of the players, other than Jameis, can stay healthy, this is a playoff team. Now, everyone talks about the 30-for-30 season, but before that, Jameis' interception rate wasn't actually that high. He had 14-11 picks in the two prior seasons. So I think it brings an explosive element to this offense that they didn't have, frankly, in recent years with Drew Brees. And I also think this defense still has a ton of stars. They're also very thin behind those stars, guys like Marcus Williams, Marcus Davenport, DeMario Davis. So it really comes down to health on that side of the ball. But if they can maintain that health, I do see them being very competitive.
Sean Payton doesn't have quite the risk it, biscuit attitude that Bruce Arians did. I don't think that he'd put him an opportunity to throw 30 interceptions with the Saints. By the way, Mina, something that just came down that we found out due to the impending impact of Hurricane Ida on the Gulf Coast region, the Saints were forced to cancel their final preseason game against the Cardinals. So your first opportunity to see Jameis and the Saints is going to come in week one against the Packers at the Caesars Superdome before New Orleans hits the road for a divisional game in Charlotte. Still ahead on SportsCenter, much more to come around the NFL. A live report on the keys for Zach Wilson versus Jalen Hurts and their final action before the season kicks off, and whether some weather could impact that. And we're inside 24 hours from the return of college football. College Game Day delivers the need-to-know guide heading into week zero. Stick with us.